Hey, sister. Today we are continuing our discussion that we started in the previous episode, episode 12, that you will want to go back and listen to if you have not listened to it yet, the not-so-secret secrets of God's guidance, receiving God's guidance, understanding God's guidance, to know where God wants us to walk, to know the work that He wants us to do. Don't you think so much of our power and peace comes from knowing where God wants us to be and making sure we are there, we are being there right where He wants us? And if we are precisely where our Heavenly Father would have us to be, we can also be absolutely sure that He is going to provide for all of our needs, can't we? Food and clothing and everything else besides. Well, sister, I have to confess that so many times in my life, I have run ahead of God and His guidance. I've not waited for His guidance to be clear. I've also pushed my own way. Oh, I did that so many times, half-heartedly wanting God to lead me, but the other half of me really wanting my own way and finding ways to manipulate that or move it around to just push ahead. And unfortunately, I even have to admit that other times, just outright rebelliously, like a spoiled child, deciding at times to say, instead of waiting for God's guidance, I'm just going to do it my way and God will have to deal with it. I hope you haven't had that experience, but probably a lot of us have. The good thing is that God does forgive us and that God does take us from wherever we are and grow us, and He wants to teach us the real secrets and the joy of receiving and understanding His guidance, not going our own way. And that is my experience, is that I came to the point where I realized how much damage I had done to my own life and in other people's lives by pushing my own way, my own wisdom, my own will. And now I take a different approach that is truly seeking God's guidance, His wisdom, His way, which is always best for us. Last episode, episode 12, we looked at three secrets to God's guidance, which are motivation, orientation, and information. But today we are going to continue with four more of those not-so-secret secrets of God's guidance. So let's just dig in.
Looking for something more in this middle season of life? Lie awake at night wondering what God wants you to do and how to hear His voice clearly? I see you, sister. We're in the messy middle. Hey, I'm Angie, midlife mentor and missionary. I was busy chasing all the things when one day I woke up in the middle, and it didn't look at all like I expected. I realized my faith was too flimsy to handle all the stuff midlife was throwing at me, and I wanted to serve God with my gifts, but I just couldn't get any traction until God pulled me out of the mess and put my feet on the path to a life of peace and purpose right here in the middle. In this podcast, you'll discover the next steps God has for you in this season, new ways to go deeper than ever before with Jesus, and biblical tools to walk this journey with more of everything God wants for you. You ready? Come on, we're not sleeping anyway, so pop in those earbuds and let's talk.
As we get started today with these additional four secrets of God's guidance, I want to start with context. And this is actually where I finished in the previous episode. The idea that the secrets of God's guidance, the whole practice of receiving and understanding God's guidance, this is in a relational context, not primarily a transactional context. That is, God's guidance is set within the context of His relationship with us, not just a transactional kind of experience. Now, this week, I actually found myself considering some questions and decisions that I needed to make regarding ministry, regarding home life, organizing, lots of different things. And as I was considering this whole subject of God's guidance, I realized that I was actually focused more on the transactional aspect of guidance than I was on the relational aspect of guidance, much more focused on the transactional part than I actually originally thought that I was. So I just wanted to expand on this a bit. When we are talking about transactional conversation or transactional questions or transactional prayer, we could say with God, we are focused on tasks, actions, or information. It's very goal-oriented, usually. The kind of questions that we would ask God, for example, are going to be like closed-ended. They're yes or no. You know, God, do you want me to do this? Yes or no? They're going to be very direct. There might be kind of a tone of authority and, you know, God is the authority. He's going to tell me what to do. He's going to give me the list or he's going to give me the A, B, C, D. I'm responsible just to do it. It makes sense, actually, in the context of seeking God's guidance, because we do often want to know what to do or not do, when to do it, how to do it, or with whom we're going to do or not do something. So we are seeking specific information. Transactional questions in our prayers, transactional conversation has a place. But along with our transactional focus for information or action, God's intent is actually for us to grow in this practice and experience of seeking and receiving His guidance. He wants us to grow relationally in this process. It's part of our relationship with Him. In a relational context, the focus is now on creating and building trust, intimacy in our relationship with Him. Our prayers may have more open-ended questions. We want God to elaborate. We want God to clarify. We want God to express what He's thinking, what He's feeling. We express our own thoughts and feelings, values, opinions. These are all part of relational conversation and relational questions and answers. Rather than this just, going to the authority to ask for the list of what to do, the tone in this kind of conversation is warmer. It's a little more friendly, we could say, because, you know, we're seeking expression of who the person is that we're actually talking to, that we're actually engaging with, relating with. So think about like conversations with your spouse or a loved one when you're planning something. Let's plan a vacation. We're going to make a decision. If it's transactional, the questions would be like, where do you want to go? Should we purchase the couch? Those questions have a place, of course. I mean, that's like, okay, this is what we're talking about. But we don't just want those kind of answers and questions. In fact, I think that sometimes when the conversation, when we just receive those like, do you want this or do you want that? And nothing else is discussed, we feel like, hey, I didn't even get to tell you why. I didn't even get to express myself. You don't understand me. But when it's relational, we feel heard. We feel seen. Our questions with our spouse, our example again, would be like, why do you want to go to Athens and not go to Prague? Or how do you feel about this decision? Or what are you thinking about our finances? We're not just asking for the cold, hard facts. We are engaging with the other person and seeking to know what they think and feel about the options, about the decision. So in seeking God's guidance, are we, here's the question, sister, and this is a question I asked myself this week. Are we wanting to really know God's mind and heart on the matter that we're talking to Him about, that we're seeking guidance on? How does our conversation with God, how does our questions that we're asking Him, how do our prayers reflect that desire to know His heart, to think His thoughts after Him? Or is it all pretty much just transactional? That is a great question, and I would encourage you to journal on it as you are seeking guidance. And this goes perfectly with our first secret of guidance that we are talking about today, which is prayer. In Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, you will know this verse. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. This is so relational. Jesus has placed these promises in the context of the relationship between parent and child, between the father and us as his children, his daughters. You can actually see a progression of intimacy and trust, of closeness. We're moving from asking for gifts and getting them, receiving them. Okay, that's kind of transactional. Then we get more personal. Now we are seeking and finding not just the gifts, but the one who is the giver of the gifts. And finally, we become intimate because we are knocking and the door is opened to the Father's heart and home. We're understanding who he is, where he's coming from, what he's feeling and wanting in this relationship, in this experience of whatever we are asking for and needing and receiving and all of that. You can see how the progression moves from transactional to becoming more relational, and then finally, just complete intimacy. Something else to notice, Jesus says, everyone who asks receives. So this is the natural relationship between a parent and child, between the father and the child. When we pray, we should hear his voice assuring us that everyone who asks receives. We are not going to be left without an answer from our father, sister. By his word, by his spirit, he's going to let us know whether our request is according to his will or not. So I'm asking you, are you expecting in your prayers? Are you believing his word that everyone who asks receives? Are you expecting to hear from him, to receive his guidance? Especially in a time of change or crisis, a wonderful way to pray is for doors to be opened or shut, for the way to be made clear or to be blocked, for anything that is not according to God's will to be defeated. In other words, that we may begin to see God's hand at work in our circumstances. And that leads us to our next secret of guidance, which is providence. This is God at work in circumstances. Sometimes a small incident happens in our lives or around us, and other people may not really see it as significant. But if we have eyes of faith and we have been praying, we are going to realize that God is at work. We are going to use our eyes of faith and see how God is guiding us by circumstances. And this happens far more than we think. Micah chapter 2 verse 13 says, "The one that is God, the one who breaks open the way, will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out." I love this verse, this promise. It's talking to Israel, of course. But another version says, "The one who can break through barriers will lead them out." So, sister, God is going to break open a way. He's going to break through barriers to bring you out right in line with his guidance. So these small incidents, sometimes they're repeated in different ways in answer to our prayers. They're not random. They're not just the results of chance. Rather, God is opening up circumstances in the direction he intends for us to walk, letting us see. It's like sometimes I have flown between the United States and Romania at night. And at night, of course, you can't see anything from the plane windows. Everything is dark. As we begin to descend or we get closer to our destination, where everything was dark, now you begin to see little pinpoints of light. And then there become more and more and more. They multiply until those lights become more clear. There are more details. You begin to see whole cities because we're getting closer. This is the way God's providence works to enable us to see as he works in our circumstances. Okay. All of this usually takes a bit of time. And so that is where we get to our next secret of God's guidance, which I think is one of the most difficult secrets for most of us to deal with, but it's also one of the most critical, and it's often ignored. And that is the secret of waiting. God had shown the prophet Habakkuk a vision. Sometimes we too have a vision of where we believe God is taking us, where we think that he wants to guide us. When we have this vision, we may have to wait for it. God told Habakkuk the vision will be fulfilled. But if it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Habakkuk 2 verse 3. God's timing is perfect, but we must wait patiently, and we are waiting for confirmation. Waiting for confirmation. Psalm 27 verse 14 says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Wait patiently for the Lord. While we are practicing all the other secrets we have talked about, we still need to wait for God to bring everything together into one clear point. We need confirmation. And sister, if you do not know what you ought to do, even after practicing all the other secrets we've talked about, stand still until you do. In times past, Christians used to say, when you're seeking God's guidance, you need to wait for the witnesses. That is, the things that witness to or confirm God's direction. So what are the witnesses? Well, there are more than just these, but three that we have been talking about are God's word, which is outside of us. It's objective. It's not something that I am free to just have, you know, this is how I feel. This is outside of me. This is an objective direction that I can read and understand. That's number one, God's word. Number two, God's spirit. God's spirit is within me. It's more subjective, impressions, promptings. It's dependent on our knowing the Spirit's voice, but God's Spirit does confirm. So we want God's Word outside of us, God's Spirit inside of us, and God's providence. Those are those circumstances we talked about. God's providence around us. That's number three. The circumstances of our daily life confirm God's will when they agree with inward promptings of the Spirit and with the Word of God. When these witnesses come together, God is providing confirmation to us. And sister, when these witnesses come together, we can be just as sure of God's guidance as if an angel appeared to us to give us direction. So waiting for confirmation. However, caution, our final secret that we're talking about today is walking. Now, we just said waiting, but now we're talking about walking. The experiences of people in the Bible show us that even if an angel appeared for guidance, that doesn't mean it won't take courage and faith to take a step, to take the first step, or to take later steps, to walk in obedience. Even after we've received confirmation, it's possible for us to doubt even the clearest guidance. The reality is that receiving guidance doesn't mean we don't have to have faith. When God delivered Moses and the people of Israel from Egypt, he directed them to camp near the Red Sea. They had clear, unmistakable guidance from God, right? And coming out of Egypt, and then God told them, camp here. But then when they saw Pharaoh and the Egyptians coming after them, it looked like everything had gone completely crazy. I mean, how could this be God's will? They'd just come out of Egypt, and now what? Are they just going to be captured and killed by the Egyptians? As a side note, I wonder, do we ever do that? Like, doubting where we are, thinking that if we're experiencing problems or we're waiting for God's guidance, that somehow God isn't leading us, he hasn't led us to where we are? Just asking those questions, but I digress. Let's get back. You can read the whole story in Exodus chapter 14. After God sends a dark cloud to protect the people from the Egyptians, he tells Moses to command the people, go forward, or get moving. And one writer says that if the Israelites had held back when Moses told them to go forward, if they had refused to take the steps to get closer to the edge of the Red Sea, God would not have opened the path for them through the Red Sea. But as they went down to the very edge of the water, you can say, like as they put their toes in, right? They showed that they had faith in God's word. They did what God had already told them to do, and they did it in obedience. Then God was able to open the way further for them. So, sister, as we are waiting for confirmation from God through his word, by his spirit, and in his providential work in our circumstances, we're waiting for those witnesses to come together before we move forward. That is absolutely necessary. However, if we are waiting until every possible shadow of uncertainty is removed, if we are waiting for no risk of failure or defeat, we will never move. We would continue to doubt even if God sent an angel to guide us. If we think it's impossible for us to surrender to God's will and have faith in his promises until everything is made clear and plain, until we can see and have a map that goes forward into infinity, we're not going to surrender at all, because faith is not certainty of knowledge. Faith is certainty in a person. It's based in knowing that person who is our loving Father, who is our Savior brother, Jesus. It's understanding God's heart, knowing his mind and his thoughts. It's that relationship. So ultimately, although it is necessary and important and good, of course, for us to understand and practice all these secrets to receive God's guidance, we can't put our trust and our faith in our efforts, our practices to live out these secrets. We can't even put our faith in our knowledge, you know, having all the best information, research, recommendations. All of this simply places us where God can speak to us. It helps to open us up to what God wants to do, where he wants to lead us. But these secrets are not where we place our faith. Faith is rooted in knowing Jesus, the one who is guiding us. So we have to be honest with ourselves and with God in our prayer. If we are not obeying what God has already told us, if we're doing something he's told us not to, if we're not doing what he's told us to do, we are not going to receive more light until we resolve that. Psalm 37:23 says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly." He's actively directing your steps, sister, in every daily piece of your life, your decisions, day by day, moment by moment. He's directing your steps, but he's not going to open the vision so that you can see next year, probably not even next month, usually just for the next day, sometimes just for today. If we are expecting and waiting for more than this, we're going to be disappointed, and we're just going to end up back in the darkness of uncertainty. So let's walk forward in obedience with the light that we do have. Sister, that brings us to the end of our four secrets of God's guidance that we're talking about today: prayer, providence, waiting, and walking. There are more secrets to guidance, but these four and the previous three that we talked about in episode 12, motivation, orientation, and information, these seven secrets give us a solid start in practicing the spiritual discipline of guidance, receiving and understanding how God guides us every day and in special circumstances that are crises or decision-making times. Sister, I invite you to join us for more conversation about God's guidance in the Realize More with God Facebook group. I have added the link in the notes. Love to see you there. Ask questions, anything you'd like to talk about, guidance or other subjects. We're just a small group, but it's a great place to meet and support one another as we are learning to connect with God and find direction in this messy middle of life. Until next time, I pray that the love of the Father, the grace of Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you. Be blessed.
Real quick before you go, if this podcast blessed you in some way, I would so appreciate it if you would share it with another sister in the middle. And the number one way you can bless me is to leave a written review for the show over on Apple Podcasts. I read each review and love knowing what's touched you, and I get inspired hearing from you. You can also send me a DM and let me know how I can pray for you, or give me an idea of what you would like me to talk about on the show. I'll meet you back here same time next week. Until then, walk in God's grace and peace.